Picture a clear morning, smooth air, a pilot in a light helicopter cruising along, relaxed, maybe pushing the cyclic forward just a little to pick up speed or to follow the terrain down a slope. Nothing feels wrong. The engine is running fine, the weather is beautiful, and in less than 1 second that helicopter comes apart in the air. I'm Tower, and this is ATIS on Radio Hangar. Today we are not talking about a headline crash you saw on the news. We are talking about a killer that has been hiding in plain sight for more than 40 years, spelled out in black and white in a manufacturer's safety notice that too few people read all the way through. Here's what you need to know. This one is about low G, it's about mast bumping, and it's about one of the most important pieces of paper the Robinson Helicopter Company ever published, Safety Notice Number 11. Before we get into it, today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight, from first solo to airline transport pilot. Every coin tells a story, AviationSoul.com. Now, let's get into it. If you fly airplanes and not helicopters, stay with me, because this teaches something about aerodynamics that every pilot should understand. And if you fly a two-bladed helicopter, an R-22, an R-44, an R-66, a Bell 47, an old Bell 206, this is a survival briefing. Let's start with the machine. Most light Robinsons and a lot of classic helicopters use what's called a two-bladed teetering rotor system. Sometimes people call it a semi-rigid rotor. The idea is simple and elegant. You have two rotor blades joined together, and they sit on top of the mast on a hinge, a teeter hinge, like a seesaw. When one blade flaps up, the other flaps down. That seesaw motion lets the rotor cope with the difference in lift between the advancing blade and the retreating blade as the helicopter moves through the air. It's light, it's cheap to build, it's reliable, and it has one fatal weakness that you absolutely have to respect. That teetering rotor only stays healthy when it is loaded, when there's weight on it, when it is pulling positive G and holding the fuselage up like a plumb line hanging from the sky. Here's the problem. The headline doesn't tell the whole story, and neither does the phrase everyone uses. People say low G. What does that actually mean in the cockpit? Think about pushing forward on the cyclic, a sharp, abrupt forward push, or think about flying over the top of a ridge and pushing the nose over to follow the ground down, or hitting an updraft and instinctively shoving the stick forward to hold altitude. In all of those cases, you unload the rotor, you reduce the G for a moment, the aircraft and everyone in it feels light in the seat, your gut floats. The same feeling you get going over the crest of a hill in a car or the top of a roller coaster. In an airplane, that's a non-event, uncomfortable maybe. You push forward, you feel light, the airplane keeps flying, you pull back, you're fine. In a two-bladed helicopter, that floating feeling is the sound of the trap closing. Here is the chain of events, and it happens fast. When the rotor is unloaded, when it's flying at low G, it produces very little lift, and that thrust from the tail rotor, which is always pushing sideways to counter the torque of the main rotor, that tail rotor thrust is now unopposed by the weight of the machine hanging below, so the fuselage starts to roll. On an American helicopter, turning the way most Robinsons turn, it rolls to the right. Now watch what a scared, untrained pilot does. The aircraft is rolling right. Every instinct in your body says stop the roll. So you move the cyclic left, you try to pick the low side back up. And that is the mistake that kills you. Because the main rotor is unloaded. It is not connected to the fuselage the way it is in normal flight. It's teetering freely up there. When you put in that left cyclic while the rotor is light, the fuselage rolls left underneath a rotor disc that is not following your command. The mast, that shaft holding the whole rotor system up, tilts over toward the rotor hub. The hub is flapping, and the hub physically strikes the mast, that's mast bumping metal on metal. And when it happens with any force, it can chop the mast or bend it, or separate the entire rotor system from the aircraft in flight. Once the rotor leaves, there is no recovery, there is no auto-rotation, there is no parachute. It is over, and it is over in a fraction of a second. This affects you if you fly any teetering rotor helicopter, and it affects your passengers if you carry them, because the recovery is not intuitive and you will not figure it out in the moment. You have to know it cold before you ever leave the ground. So let me give you the recovery, straight out of the manufacturer's own guidance, because this is the part that saves lives. If you find yourself light in the seat, if you feel that low G float, you do one thing first immediately, before anything else. You gently apply aft cyclic. You bring the stick back. That reloads the rotor, it puts the G back on, it restores the connection between the rotor and the fuselage. Only after the rotor is loaded again, only after you have that weight back, do you level the aircraft gently. aft cyclic first, then level, in that order, not the other way around. And here's the discipline that keeps you out of it in the first place. In a two-bladed Robinson, you never ever push the cyclic forward abruptly. Low G is a condition you avoid, not one you recover from. The best recovery is the one you never need because you were smooth on the controls and you never unloaded that rotor to begin with. Let me tell you where the paperwork comes from, because this matters. Frank Robinson, the engineer who founded the Robinson Helicopter Company, published a whole series of safety notices over the years. Plain language, blunt, written by a man who clearly lost sleep over the accidents he was reading about. Safety notice number 11 is titled, roughly, Low G Pushovers, Extremely Dangerous. And there's a companion notice, safety notice number 32, that ties Low G together with a broader warning about the dangers of low rotor RPM and abrupt maneuvers. These are not buried in a maintenance manual somewhere. Robinson made these mandatory reading. In fact, the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, backed this up years ago with a special rule, a special federal aviation regulation known in the training world as SFAR 73, which lays out specific awareness training and flight experience requirements for pilots of Robinson R-22s and R-44s. Part of the reason that rule exists at all is this exact killer, low G mast bumping. The accident record forced the regulator's hand. Now let me flag something as opinion, because I promised you I'd tell you when I'm giving you my read rather than the facts. In my view, the reason this hazard keeps claiming pilots is not that the information is hidden. It's right there. The reason is that low G feels harmless. It feels like a fun little pushover. It doesn't announce itself with a warning horn or a red light. It just feels like fun right up until the moment it isn't. And human beings are very bad at fearing things that feel good. That's my opinion. But the accident reports, going back decades, are not opinion. Let's connect this to the wider world for a second, because the physics here is not unique to helicopters. Anytime you unload a wing or a rotor, you change what it can do. Airplane pilots, think about a botched pushover, negative G fuel unporting in a carbureted engine, oil starvation, your body coming up against the belts. We respect that, we brief it. Helicopter pilots have to respect the low G rotor the same way, except the consequences arrive faster and they are less forgiving. And here's the broader safety lesson, the one I want you to carry out of this segment no matter what you fly. The most dangerous hazards in aviation are almost never the loud ones. They're not the engine fire or the blown tire that gets your adrenaline going and your training kicking in. The dangerous ones are quiet. They feel normal. They feel comfortable. Carburetor ice feels like a slow, gentle power loss on a nice cool day. Spatial disorientation feels like you're flying straight and level when you're not. And low G in a two-bladed helicopter feels like a pleasant little float in the seat. The killers are quiet, which means your defense against them can't be reflex. It has to be knowledge loaded in advance and habit, built on the ground. So if you fly a teetering rotor helicopter, here's what you do about it. Practically one reread Robinson safety notice number 11 and number 32 this week, not skim, read. They are short and they are free on the manufacturer's website. 2. If it's been a while, get with a qualified instructor and talk through the low G recovery until aft cyclic is the first thing your hand wants to do, not the last. 3. Fly smooth. Treat abrupt forward cyclic like you'd treat pulling the wings off in a steep spiral, something a disciplined pilot simply does not do. And 4, brief your passengers. If somebody grabs the controls or bumps the stick in a moment of excitement, you want to have already made the decision about how you handle that airspace and that maneuver. The airplane doesn't care how many hours you have. The rotor doesn't care that it's a beautiful morning, physics is patient, and it is undefeated. Your job is to know the trap well enough that you never walk into it. My thanks on this one to the Robinson Helicopter Company, whose safety notices remain some of the most honest, plainly written documents in this industry, and to the FAA, whose special training rule for the Robinson fleet turned hard lessons into required knowledge. If you want to read the notices yourself, and you should, you'll find links and the rest of today's briefing over at radiohanger.com. Fly smooth, keep the rotor loaded, and the next time the seat goes light beneath you, let your hand already know where to go. This is Tower, cleared to land.